to do that.
It's good to have everyone out this evening.
Glad to have everyone back from our studies. We're going to pick up from where we left off in our adult class. We were talking about the conversions in the book of Acts, answering the question, how does one enter the race? All this week we're talking about that race, the race that is set before us as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But as we see people entering that race, and how do they do that? Of course, by becoming Christians. If you look through the book of Hebrews, where this verse is found in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer is talking to those people who had entered a covenant relationship with God. The race that they were called to run was one of endurance. That is, they needed to hold fast in the faith of Christ, knowing that they have access to God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. In this covenant relationship wherein God remembers their sins no more, wherein they can enter the throne of grace with boldness through the new and living way established in the blood of Christ, knowing that we have our conscience cleansed by the blood of Christ, we now have this relationship with God, and our race is to hold fast in that relationship, to hold fast our confession of faith until the very end. Like Jesus said to the churches in Revelation, be faithful until death, or to the point of death. That's our race. That's our goal as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, those who enter the race are those who have entered that covenant. If you're not a Christian this evening, consider that you're not yet in the race. You don't have Jesus yet as your goal. You don't have the hope of eternal life. You don't have access to God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you have not yet come to Christ in obedience to the gospel. You have not yet entered the race. And I ask the question here now. If you have not done so already, why do you tarry? If you've been here at all this week, even if you're here in the last session, you have heard the gospel message preached. Let's repeat it just for a moment. We know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why? Because God has shown with many, many evidences, testifying through the apostles, following them with the signs and wonders which they did, all of which are recorded for us in the New Testament Scriptures. We have God's Word for us right here. We have the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And that is to believe that He is God. He is deity. That God has come in the flesh. He died on the cross for our sins. When He did that, Jesus didn't just throw a blanket over the world and say, okay, everybody's saved. No, what Jesus did on the cross was establish a covenant. A new covenant. What is it that He said when He gave that fruit of the vine to the apostles there on that day of that Passover feast? This is my blood of the new covenant. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus died on the cross to establish a covenant relationship. And then He rose from the dead after having established that covenant. Because He is the high priest, that is a mediator between man and God, He took the power of that blood that He shed, and He went to the presence of God where we are able to be sanctified. He is our salvation. Do you believe that? And what we learned is that Jesus, before going into heaven, before ascending to the right hand of God, He issued some commands. He commanded His apostles to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything whatsoever I have commanded you. And He said He'd be with us even to the end of the age. But in that command, He said that people who believe need to repent of their sins, be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There were people in the Gospels that believed, but they would not confess Him. Some rulers of the Jews in John chapter 12 who believed in Jesus, but because they didn't want to get cast out of the synagogue, they would not confess Jesus. You may have withheld a confession. You may have withheld yourself from going to the extent that Jesus says we need to go to enter His covenant. Maybe for fear, maybe for some anxiety, maybe for doubt. There may be some reason in your life why you have tarried from obeying the gospel if you've not done so already. But one thing we do learn when we read through the book of Acts is that in every case, when someone learned what they needed to do to be saved, it was a matter of great urgency to have those sins washed away. There was no delaying when someone understood what they needed to do to be saved. Great urgency is expressed toward the obedience to the gospel in every case where someone did in fact obey. Let's think about Saul. I told you we'd pick up here in Acts chapter 9. Now in verse 9, you see, Jesus had appeared to Saul. He was on the road to Damascus. He was going to get Christians to arrest them and take them bound back to Jerusalem. But on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him. Why? Because Jesus had set Paul to be a chosen vessel to the Gentiles, an apostle. And Paul had to have saw and heard Jesus in order for that to be true. But after that event, Paul could not see. He was led into the city, where he was taken into a room, and there he sat for 3 days. He did not take food. He did not take any water for 3 days. What do you think was on his mind? I'll give you one guess. He had 3 days to contemplate that experience there on the road, that the same Jesus who he had been crucifying had come to him and told him, go to Damascus, and there he'll be told what you are to do. When Ananias came to him and told him what he was to do, he asked him a very, very good question. Let's open our Bibles now to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. It's a question I extend to you this evening. Is it a question we should extend to any person who has heard the gospel and is thinking about it, who is weighing the virtues of the gospel in the balance? This is the question that one needs to ask, and we need to answer for ourselves if we've not obeyed yet. But Acts 22 and verse 16, this is where Ananias comes to Saul. As Saul is there in that room, he says in verse 15, "For you will be his witness," that is, witness to Jesus, "to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And as we read Acts 9, chapter 9, Paul's response was immediate. Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes. He could see. And what did he do when that happened? He went and he was baptized. Did Paul say, "Now, did you just hold a minute, Ananias? I got to think this through here. I got to really digest what I just experienced on the road here. You know, Ananias, I'm going to have to give some things up and before I can be baptized. You know, I'm a Jew. I'm a faithful Jew." Paul elaborates on his status among Jews, what tribe he's in. He was a Hebrew among Hebrews, a student of Gamaliel. He was one of the top dogs. He had great potential. "Now, Ananias, if I do this, if I'm baptized, I'm going to be turning against a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be unhappy with me, Ananias." No. Obviously, Paul didn't say that, but that's the way a lot of people reason today about their own conversion. You know, I have to give this up. Maybe someone here is going to be unhappy with me. But when it came down to it, no one else matters. When it comes to our own salvation, no one else matters. If a man gains a whole world and loses his soul, what profit is that to him? Not one bit. He didn't hesitate. He knew what he needed to do. Ananias just told him. The Lord said, "It would be told what you must do." And when Saul heard what he must do, he acted. There was no hesitation. There was no delay. What we see in every case of conversion is that when it comes to salvation, it is a matter of great urgency. Paul says to the Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He uses an expression that I think we need to have on our minds every single day. You know, we've talked so far this week about being ready. Well, this is one of those passages that we really need to keep in mind as it comes to that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Excuse me, I had my Bible over 1 Corinthians. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now remember, Paul here is writing to Christians. But the point is, he said, we're working in the gospel for you. If you're a Christian here this evening, consider that for your own sake, you need to understand that today, this is the day of salvation, even for you. Just because you have been baptized doesn't mean that you're A-okay, everything's great. You need to be working on your own life, as we talked about last night. And that's what Paul's point is in this passage. But for the non-Christian, for the person here this evening who has not yet obeyed the gospel, the same thing stands true. This is the day. God's salvation is available to you right now. It may not be in 5 minutes. It may not be in 5 hours. When you wake up in the morning, well, you may not even wake up in the morning. This is the day of your salvation. It's that urgent. If you know what to do to be saved, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, this is the day of your salvation. Glory in this day. Take advantage of this day. Not tomorrow, not the next day, or some convenient day. But today, we don't know what day or hour or every moment counts when it comes to our salvation. It is a matter of great urgency. What was the reaction of those who heard the gospel in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41? I said we'd look at some of these conversions again. See, Peter preached the sermon to them. They were pricked to their heart. They were cut to their heart. They asked, "What shall we do?" Peter answered their question. He told them exactly what they needed to do to be saved. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And notice this is the response. They knew that there was a need. They saw the urgency of this matter. What do we do? They didn't wait for Peter to get to the point. They interrupted and said, "What are we going to do about this? Tell me. How do we rectify the situation?" When Peter told them what to do, it says those who gladly received his word were baptized. When you have an element of gladness, you have a concern, a matter of urgency. You don't know the answer. And now the answer is here. Are you going to step back and say, "Wow, that sounds like a nice answer. Give me a few weeks to think about that." No. They wanted to know now. They got the answer now. And guess what they did? They responded now. They didn't tarry. They didn't delay. They received it with gladness and they obeyed the message because that's what they wanted to do. Even the Ethiopian. That's one of the things that we really need to take from these accounts of conversion. In every case, people did not wait for the preacher to give them the answer of what to do to be saved. In fact, these people who were hearing the gospel, whether you're talking about the Jews in Acts chapter 2, or whether you're talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, or whether you're talking about the Philippian jailer, these people interrupted the preacher. You know, the Philippian jailer, he came running in. He was trembling when he saw the doors of the prison were open. He was about to kill himself, and Paul said, "See that you don't do that." And he came running in, and he didn't wait for Paul to keep talking. He just said, "What do I need to do to be saved?" The Ethiopian eunuch. Philip was preaching Jesus to him, and the eunuch interrupted him. "Look, here's water. What's hindering me? What prevents me from being baptized?" Again, we have the Philippian jailer over in Acts chapter 16. Let's turn our Bibles over there and read that. Acts Acts 16, verse 29. Again, imagine the scene. They're in prison. Paul and Silas, they were in shackles, locked. There was a shaking. The doors were open. The chains were loosed. And in those days, if a prisoner was escaped, the person in charge of the prison or the jail, it meant his life. This jailer knew what this meant. That's why he was about to kill himself. In verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We're here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He knew why Paul was in prison. And he heard the songs that they were singing. He knew there was something to what they were doing. He had heard enough to know there was a need for salvation. Paul's response: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. You know, some people want to stop right there. Verse 31. All Paul said he had to do was believe. No, that's a summary. To say believe in the gospel is a summary of saying that you believe everything that the gospel says. And what did the Ethiopian eunuch do that the gospel said? Be baptized. In fact, as we see that the rest of the message was preached to this jailer, what did they do? In chapter 16, verse 32, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, did the jailer say, "That is a wonderful message. Give me a few days to think about that message"? You know, I'm a jailer here in a idolatrous city. I'm going to have to make a lot of changes. Give me some time to think about that. No. As soon as he had an answer to his question, and as soon as he heard the message that he needed to hear, immediately he and all of his household were baptized. Now, we do read about some people in the Bible who tarried, who delayed in obeying the gospel. In Acts chapter 24, in verse 24, Felix, Paul reasoned with him about several things: righteousness, self-control, the judgment to come. And whatever that message contained, Felix was afraid. But in Acts chapter 24 and in verse 24, after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered. Notice, unlike all the other responses, immediately. Here, Felix, "Go away now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." Does that describe you tonight? If you're not a Christian, are you telling yourself, "You know, it's just not convenient for me right now. There's just so much going on in my life. How about when I have a more convenient time?" I know a very dear brother in Christ, still faithful. He's a deacon at the congregation he's a member of. He accounted a story similar to this. He had heard the gospel message. He was all about 21. He and his wife heard the message, and, you know, they were getting ready for a trip. It was a 2-week trip, and they said, "Tell you what, we're going on a trip. When we come back, we'll get all this resolved and taken care of." And he said, "David, that was the worst decision of my life. I got to thinking on that trip, anything could happen to me at any moment." And you know, as soon as I got back, he said, "I was baptized. I knew I'd made a mistake by waiting." But that's the tendency. Maybe when it's a little bit more convenient. You've got a lot going on. No. We have no record in the Bible that Felix ever obeyed the gospel. When we put it off, there's always going to be things that get in the way. Always. We just may never get around to it. And then the end. It's too late. In Acts chapter 26, we also have Agrippa. This is 2 years later now. Paul has appealed to Caesar, and he gives Agrippa an account of his efforts in the gospel, what his mission is, what he's been doing, why it is that he is in prison at this moment. In Acts 26 and verse 28, in response to Paul's message, Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul even said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Paul said, "Agrippa, I want you to be a Christian. I want you to be just like I am, except for the fact that I'm in prison. And everyone who can hear this message, become as I am, a Christian." Agrippa said, "You almost persuaded me, Paul." And I could hear it now. "Boy, David, you're almost persuading me." Almost persuaded until it's too late. Don't tarry. What causes men to delay? Any number of reasons, just a few that come to mind. A fear of commitment. Being a Christian does involve commitment, but we've already talked about that throughout our studies. Any commitment we make to Christ, the burden that we bear in Christ is so much easier than the burden that we bear under the guilt of sin. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He gives us rest for our souls. He doesn't make it harder on us. The only thing that makes it harder is our own desires, as we fight our own desires. That's the only thing that makes it hard. Christ makes it easier for us. He gives us a burden we can actually bear, unlike the guilt of sin. Maybe it's a lack of conviction. You know, I hear it. I agree. But I'm not convicted to the point of action. Maybe that describes you. Almost persuaded. It sounds good. I know I need it. But I don't want enough to actually act on it. Inconvenience. You're just waiting for that, the right moment. It's never going to be the right moment. Now is the day of your salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. If you have not obeyed the gospel, think about your situation. What is causing you to delay? What is it that you're waiting on? What is it that you're uncertain about? We have the Bible. We know it is true. We know what it says. If we don't understand it fully, we understand it enough to know that we need Jesus Christ to be saved, and we know that in this relationship, I'm a covenant relationship with God, and I am set to run a race of endurance looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. If I obey the gospel, I know that I need to live a faithful Christian life. There may be some things that you're unsure about. If you're sure about that, you're ready to obey the gospel. Christian life is a life of learning, growing. God doesn't expect us to be mature at the point of baptism. That's why He calls us babes. That's the beginning point. And if you know about your need for Jesus Christ, don't wait. Do you recognize the urgency of your salvation? Do you recognize that at any moment you could try to pull out of the church building and the car comes screaming down the road? Do you recognize that if you're older, or if you're like me, just plain out of shape, you could have a heart attack at any moment? I'm not going to get too gruesome with it, but just think about it. We don't have to fear all those eventualities, but we do need to prepare for them. And that's the point. If we delay, we won't be prepared. In these lessons, you've heard the gospel message. Do you believe it? Do you recognize your need to repent of your sins? If you recognize that salvation is in Jesus Christ, are you willing to confess that He is, in fact, the Christ, the Son of the living God? And if so, if you do know all of this, why do you tarry? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins today. If you're subject to that invitation, I would beg you, I would urge you with all of my heart, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.